Bonjour à tous. Unfortunately, my French is a bit rusty, so the whole presentation will be in English. Sorry for this. So on behalf of the SILT Consortium, I'm going to present our combined efforts on developing scalable analytics models for cybersecurity purposes. What we basically propose is a cybersecurity platform that offers security as a service analytics to ISPs or large corporate networks. So before going into the specifics of our models, I would like to take a moment and try to describe what led us to think of such a solution. As you can see from this very recent study from Ponemon Institute and Accenture, the cost of cybercrime is already high, and the most troublesome fact is that, as you can see, there has been a 20% increase in 1 year, from 2016 to 2017. At the same time, while we have a blooming, let's say, situation of big data frameworks, there is a lack of specialized industry-level solutions that are targeting in cybersecurity analytics. Usually, the existing systems require dedicated and very expensive hardware to be installed on-premises, and that makes the need for a security-as-a-service platform that relies on cloud and network function virtualization even more apparent. So in SILT, what we're trying to do is actually we're trying to bridge that gap, and we're doing an R&D project that is funded by the European Horizon 2020 program. It involves 12 partners from different sectors. It has a total budget of 4.5 million euros, and its duration is 30 months. As you can see here, here is our team. We have a very well-balanced consortium that involves many big players. You can probably see HP up here. We have a very popular internet service provider, Telefonica. We have several partners from academia like Politecnico di Torino and Democritus, and we also have many research-intensive SMEs. What we are trying to accomplish in one sentence is that we aim to deliver an open source solution to be able to dynamically establish and deploy virtual security infrastructures both for ISPs and corporate networks. And to do this, we rely on three very distinct pillars, those of scalable analytics, trusted computing, and network function virtualization. So before going into the specifics of our models, I think it makes sense to briefly try to describe our architecture in order to understand how the aforementioned technologies cooperate to create an end-to-end procedure. So if you imagine that the cloud behind me is the network, what we actually need is to have instantiated and deployed many network services in different points of presence inside that network. These services can be made available to the clients via a store, a VNSF store, and that allows them to gather data, monitor, and filter the ongoing traffic. So, after we acquire the data, we have to process it. And for this, we have the Data Analysis and Remediation Engine, or DARE in short, that contains all the analytics, all the algorithmic implementations that we need to predict potential vulnerabilities inside that network. We'll come to that later, but let's finish the architectural description before. So, the last part of our architecture has to do with being able to evaluate our own integrity of our own infrastructure. So in order to be able to give reliable services to our clients, we need to know that we're not compromised. And for this purpose, we apply trusted computing technologies to our nodes to check their integrity periodically. So if we go deeper inside our architecture, we are down inside the DARE right now, we can see that we have three distinct modules. And as you can probably imagine by now, this is the heart of the SILT analytics. We have, starting from the bottom up, we have the data acquisition and storage phase, where we cooperate with the network services that we have deployed in order to accumulate and pre-process the acquired network traffic so that we get it ready for analysis. Then we have our analytics framework up here, that contains multiple anomaly detection and threat classification techniques that I'm going to describe later. And these techniques are creating our very precious inference. And finally, we have a cybersecurity topologies phase. where we create and we enforce actual remediation rules to block malicious traffic based on the insight that we got from the analytics phase. So going one level deeper inside the data analysis framework itself, the green rectangle that you saw earlier, we have two autonomous analytics modules, the cognitive data analysis module and the security data analysis module. And for the second one, we can say that it's a commercial solution, it's closed source, and it's optimized for NetFlow analytics. What we're mostly interested in today is the first one, the cognitive DA module, which is an open source implementation only. We have identified a pipeline of events, including anomaly detection and threat classification, as I mentioned earlier. And by anomaly detection here, we mean that we want to find outliers of normal traffic and be able to identify them and flag them as potentially malicious traffic. In threat classification, which is, of course, a supervised technique, we're trying to assign specific labels to those discovered outliers. So one might wonder why not do directly supervised learning and try to classify each log one by one. It's because in anomaly detection, we're able to even identify unprecedented threats, zero-day attacks that we could not possibly have any data to train our models with. So let's take a look under the hood of the cognitive data analysis module. Early in our research, we had to decide whether to build something from scratch or whether to build our models upon an existing solution and try to extend it. So we came across the Apache Spot project, which is a very promising cybersecurity solution based on analytics as well, and that shares pretty much the same goals that we do in terms of scalability. It also had missed several core objectives that we wanted to achieve, though, and that are near real-time detection and classification of our threats. So that meant for us that we needed to redesign from scratch some of the modules, and especially we had to do a distributed ingestion system which involves streaming techniques instead of batch processing. We needed to substitute the original machine learning algorithm that Apache Spot has, which is the latent Dirichlet allocation topic modeling technique, with multiple models for anomaly detection and threat classification that we're going to describe right after. And we also had to do some further adjustments to get it to our needs. So here are the models that we have developed in terms of anomaly detection. Of course, I'm not going to go and describe the functionalities of each one of them because we're going to spend the whole night here. But what it's important for you to know is that we experimented with many state-of-the-art machine learning models in order to be able to detect successfully some of the anomalies. So out of the models that we tested, the ones that standed out were the autoencoder one here, which actually is a neural network approach that tries to reconstruct the input signal after compressing it, and by doing this, it tries to comprehend the underlying structure that it has. And the one-class support vector machines, which is a very popular and more classical machine learning model, that it's actually estimating the support of a distribution and tries to see where the most of the cases lie. So say that we detected these outliers, we also need to know what particular attack they represent. Is it a denial of service attack? Is it a worm? Is it something totally else, like a net port scanning attempt? And for this purpose, we have also developed, as I mentioned earlier, some threat classification mechanisms. We relied on the very popular random forest model, and in a very typical neural network approach, the multilayer perceptron. So, as other speakers before me mentioned very elaboratively, after we develop some models, we need to benchmark ourselves. And here is a problem that there is a huge lack of modern datasets that are both representative of today's traffic, and they're both comprehensive. That means that they contain a lot of threats simultaneously. So we finally came across the CIC IDS 2017 from the Canadian Institute of Cybersecurity that contains 1 week's worth of traffic, and this is labeled traffic. As you can see here on the left, we have different times of the day and different type of traffic, and they all contain some threats except for Monday, which contains only clean traffic, and we use that as a baseline for our anomaly detection models. We also wanted to be able to detect another very annoying type of threat, which is the WannaCry ransomware spreading through the Eternal Blue exploit. So we took a publicly available pickup from malwaretrafficanalysis.net, and we tried to detect them with our anomaly detection models as well. So moving to the results, as we can see, we tested for different types of attacks, and we are showing here the results of our two best models, the autoencoder and one-class SVM. As you can see, they both performed decently. There is no clear winner, though, because as you can see, different models have better performance in different types of attacks. So to remind you, Wednesday here is a family of four different denial of service attack. Friday afternoon represents a distributed denial of service attack using the low orbit ion cannon. And the WannaCry is self-explanatory, of course. And you can see that the no freelance theorem might apply here as well, because the autoencoder does slightly better in most of the cases, but there are cases where the one-class SVM has a better performance. The results are pretty more clear in the threat classification phase. As you can see, both of our algorithms perform pretty good in terms of accuracy, precision, and recall. However, we can say that we have a clear winner since our tree-based ensemble random forest approach managed to detect every kind of threat with almost 100% accuracy. And that is being more obvious in the third diagram here in terms of recall, which is related to the false negative rate. So to conclude, our efforts involved creating an analytics-based methodology for cybersecurity, and that meant for anomaly detection that the autoencoders seem to be a very promising technique and a fairly new one in terms of cybersecurity, of course, that it needs to be trained and it needs to be fine-tuned very well before being able to obtain stable results. In terms of threat classification, both our algorithms seem to perform pretty well compared to other documented approaches. Actually, I think there is no documented approach that performs better than the random forest one that we developed. However, we can say that the multi-layer perceptron really lags behind the random forest one in terms of multi-class classification problems. So in realistic datasets and in real-life scenarios, when we need to train for multiple threats, we need to take that into consideration. So for future work, we want to include more types of modern attacks, and we need to let's say, increase our detection capabilities. And one of our next goals is to try to make a comprehensive data set that includes as many attacks as we can find and train our models with that. And we also want to examine feature selection and resampling techniques to further improve our models, because one very critical problem that we have faced is imbalanced data sets. And that means that we have data sets that contain 90% or more of normal traffic and very small chunks of abnormal activity. So regarding our cybersecurity solution, Shield is in a pretty much mature state right now. We have recently finished a beta version of it, and we're going to release, hopefully, a full stable release on 2019 on February. If anyone is interested in our architecture, we have publicly available documents that contain our low-level infrastructure and our complete specifications. We also have a YouTube channel where you can find some of our demos. We have run demos during the project, and for year one and year two, we focused on real-time detection. So these are not only offline trained algorithms, but we're focusing, as I said earlier, in real-time. And you can see in the videos that in less than 1 or 2 minutes, we're able to detect these threats quite successfully. And finally, of course, I would invite you to follow us on any social media if you want to learn our news. and you can check our website for more complete information about our project. That's all from my side. Thank you for listening. And of course, any questions are welcome.
Yes.
One Merci. Moment.
Merci Dimitri. Donc, on a convenu que vous pouviez poser des questions en français. Voilà. Donc, mettre le casque. Donc voilà, voilà, il y a une question en bas à gauche. Déjà.
Pardon. Merci pour la présentation. Il y a un autre projet open source qui s'appelle Apache Metron, qui est orienté cybersécurité. Est-ce que vous le connaissez? Et si oui, quelles sont les différences entre votre projet et Apache Metron? Apache Metron.
We have actually we had let's say to choose between Apache Metron and Apache Spot. And we found out that Apache Metron is not so much about analytics, but more about the flow of data in end-to-end without focusing so much on analytics. It also had some rule-based methods. So we decided to go with Apache Spot. It was a decision that, thinking it right now that we have pretty much ended our development phase, wouldn't affect so much our course because we would have developed new models anyway, either for Apache Metron or for Apache Spot. What can I say is that I think Apache Metron was based on Hortonworks stack of Hadoop, while the Apache Spot is based on the Cloudera stack. And right now that they have, I think the one was bought by the other, and I think Cloudera one bought Hortonworks, so probably we made the right choice in terms at least of in the underlying infrastructure.
Thank you.
A-t-on une autre question? Ah oui, en bas, Sana.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. My question is, as you said, the problem is when you have so many samples of threat and many of nominal that you have the imbalanced classes, so what you did for that? And my second a question would be, you said that you want to do some future selection to have better performance, but the problem is this, when you're doing anomaly detection, you don't know which one would perform better because you have nothing to compare into. So did you thought about it? Do you have anything planned for that?
These are both very accurate questions, and these were problems that we faced during the course of our project. So for feature selection, actually, if you saw the cognitive module, we apply feature selection only for classification because actually in anomaly detection, we don't know which is the feature that is going to give us this kind of, let's say, trigger to say that this is an anomaly. So we restrict feature selection only for classification at the moment. And for imbalanced datasets, actually the CIC IDS dataset was pretty much balanced in terms that it had enough abnormal traffic that we could train our models. But in real life, what we did and for the demos that we presented to the European Commission, we had to do some oversampling. And for this, we actually multiplied the traffic we got by a factor of 100 or 500, depending on the case, in order to balance our classes.